All right, Romans chapter 8, verses 25 through 28 tonight, and continuing on our thoughts on prayer. Now, you may be wondering, this passage I did preach, use it in a sermon several messages ago, I think it was a couple months ago, but this is not the same message. So, I know what pastor's going to preach, this is something different tonight. That's a wonderful thing about the Word of God. You can go to the same passage, but yet get something different out of it and apply it in a different way. And we're going to be applying this in prayer tonight. Probably not going to be a super long message. You know, I should have stopped saying that, shouldn't I? Just going to give some thoughts here this evening, but then also want to spend some time in prayer near the end of our service time. But before we do, I just wanted to give a report that we had a great revival, even though it was a little last minute, and the Lord blessed. I believe the results of revival were Sunday. Had two people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. We can praise God for that. I'm just praying that they continue to grow in the Lord and be able to see him get into church more. Samantha is traveling this week as well, so pray for her. She'll be back next week or the next couple of weeks, so pray for her if you could, heading back to Virginia to help out with some medical needs there. But tonight, we're going to be looking at something that if you have not faced it in your life, you will face it. And I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands tonight, but how many of you have been in a situation that something is going on, a trial or something has just come to you, and you just throw your hands up and you don't, and not in an exasperated wrong kind of way, but you just have no clue what to do. You just don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. The situation has just come upon you, and you have no idea what you're going to do, and you just cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." Well, the Lord knows that about us, that there are times when we have come to the end of our human ability, we have come to the end of our human understanding, we have come to the end of all of it, and yet we can still pray to our Lord, and He will give us an answer. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight in a message entitled, "I Don't Know What to Do." I don't know what to do. There are times that we feel like we don't even know what we're to pray, what we're to ask for. There are times when all we can do is weep when we pray. There are times sometimes that these times are the most powerful times that God works in our prayer life. And tonight, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 and verses 25 to 28 and how that we have the Holy Spirit of God that intercedes for us and leads us along in prayer. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Romans chapter 8, we're going to begin in verse number 25 and read down to verse number 28 tonight in a message entitled, "I Don't Know What to Do." And God's Word says, beginning in verse 25, But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Let's look to the Lord in prayer before we continue tonight. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, you indeed are strong and we are weak. And Lord, there are times in all of our lives that we don't know what direction we're to go in. We don't know what to do. We don't even know what to pray. And dear Lord, I pray that tonight this message would be an encouragement to us, a solution to things that happen in our lives. And Lord, there are times that we just don't even know which way to turn, but Lord, you are there. You are with us, and you guide us. The Holy Spirit guides us. It intercedes in our behalf. Oh, what a precious promise and truth this is tonight. I pray that it would encourage our hearts, and that whenever these times come, maybe some are going through a time like this right now, and this message is just for them. But Lord, this message is also for every Christian that will face this in times to come, in times of tragedy or in times of trial and testing, times of attack by the devil. I pray, dear Lord, that we would remember these lessons and that we would apply them. Dear Lord, we pray that you will bless this message. Give me the words to say. Help me to be clear in the presentation of my thoughts. That, dear Lord, you would forgive my infirmity and my weakness, Lord. That you would hide me behind the cross and give me the words to speak tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Here in Romans chapter 8, we find a precious truth. And we're going to look at this in four ways here. We're going to take a truth from each verse, beginning in verse number 25. We're going to go verse by verse down and pull out some truths here. The first being patience. In verse number 25, but if we hope for that we see not. Right? Remember, this is a definition of faith. We see that in Hebrews 11. What is faith? Look at Hebrews 11, verse number 1, before we continue here so we can have it fresh in our mind, because God cannot be seen. We see the evidence of God. We see the evidence of His creation. We see the evidence of His work in man's lives. But we cannot physically see God. We cannot physically see Jesus Christ. We cannot physically see the Holy Spirit. We cannot physically see any of these things. And that's what Jesus explained to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And that you, just like the wind, you see the evidence of the wind. You see the work of the wind. I mean, we can't say that, well, just because we can't see the wind does not exist. Go to Florida, and after a hurricane, you tell people, do you know what? Wind does not exist. They're going to say, you're crazy. Look at my house. It just got blown apart by the wind. You can't see it. You can see the evidence of it, but you can't see it. The same is with the Holy Spirit. The same is with our faith in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And verse number 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Why? Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. By faith we believe that God created all things. Not because we can prove it, but because God said it. The Word of the Lord. He made all things, created all things, and He said He did. That should be good enough for us. Amen. And that's where we should leave it. That's faith. We didn't see it happen, but He told us it happened. And we know God cannot lie, so we believe it. And so now there's some other truths that we're going to see here tonight that God says, but really when it comes down to it, are we going to believe it? Are we going to live by it? Are we going to say, Lord, this is truth. I will do it. This is a problem we have today, is that there's a lot of truths and promises that we know, but we don't believe them. Oh, we know all kinds of promises about how God will carry us through, but we don't put them into practice to let God carry us through. Oh, we have the promise of 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Well, yes, Pastor, I know that, but I'm going to carry some of it myself. I'll give some of it to God. I'll give some of it to myself, because I really don't believe that really can happen. It can. God can take your load and carry your burden and give you that peace. People say, well, you can't find peace in the world we live in today. Yeah, if you turn on the TV, you're not going to find any peace. You're not going to find any peace in the newspaper. You're not going to find any peace in the stock market. And maybe we have temporary peace at the gas pump. Amen. I just saw the gas tonight, $1.91 a gallon. You know what? I'm just waiting for the Saudi Arabians to just kind of go, turn the valve a little bit, and up it goes. You know, we not feel, wow, this is great. It's the holiday time, and the gas prices are down, and maybe get some peace. But guess what? When it's $2.81 a gallon, you're not going to have much peace anymore, are you? And that's where people, that well, it's impossible to have peace, Pastor. It's not. The peace of God passeth all understanding. We can have peace as His children. But here in verse number 25, back in Romans chapter 8, but if we hope for that we see not, okay, have hope in, faith in something we don't see, then do we with patience wait for it. Faith works patience. Because we don't always see it. You know, just like the wind we just spoke of a moment ago, there are days when it is perfectly calm here in Texas. Now, in the wintertime, you will notice that it's pretty windy in Texas a lot of the time in the wintertime. That's why just north of here, not very far away, they have massive wind farms from Texas, because we can generate a lot of electricity with the wind. And there's massive farms up there, head up near Gold Swate and all that. You see a bunch of wind farms up there. And why? Because they have harness the power of the wind. However, though, there are times, in the summertime especially, it always seems to be when it gets cold, it gets windy here in Texas. When it gets hot, there's no wind. When you need it the most, it's not there for you, is it? You have these breezes, but, you know, you're sitting there waiting for it. But you know what? Just because the wind is not blowing right now, well, I don't believe in the wind. I don't believe the wind's ever going to come. It'll come. Got to wait for it. Got to be patient. Wait for it. And there are times that we wait for the will of God, and we ask for the will of God. We ask for God's answer, but we need to have some patience. There are times that we don't have much patience for God's answer. When we are burdened and do not know when, where to turn or what to turn to, what direction to go, when we kind of want an answer right now, right? We're up against the wall. We're at the end of our rope. And as a Lord, we need an answer right now. I mean, we need to know what's going on, and we need to know which way we're going. And the Lord says, have some patience. Wait for me. Wait for me. You're hoping in an answer, and I will give it. At times, God's answer is immediate. There are times when God answers right away. Amen. We're thankful for those times. But also, there's other times that we must wait upon the Lord. Our hope is in that He will answer our prayer. Our hope is in this. We have seen God do work in our life before. We have seen God answer prayer. But I tell you something tonight, dear Christian, especially for those that haven't had a consistent prayer life, the worst part of having a prayer life is starting one. Because you don't have much to go off of. You know God heard your prayer for salvation. You know that He saved your soul. But when you start off asking God for answers to prayer, it's hard to have some faith because, you know, sometimes the world, and especially with the thoughts the devil gives you and the philosophy of the world around us, makes us feel kind of foolish. Well, why am I asking? You know, I'm just talking to the ceiling. Am I really talking to God? Well, the Bible clearly tells us that we may boldly come into the throne of grace. If we don't have any iniquity in our heart, the Lord hears us. And here in Psalm 91, let's look over here, Psalm 91 and verse number 15, we see a promise of God that He hears our prayer. That He hears our prayer. That He is listening. Psalm 91. And when we start off in our prayer life, maybe our faith is weaker, or faith is smaller. I don't know if some people say weak or strong faith. I think faith is more of a quantity type of thing. That sometimes we have a lot of faith in something. Maybe we have a little bit of faith in something. I tell you what, there's no better place to put your faith than in God. No better place to have trust than in God, because He'll never let you down. We may have to wait. We may have to wait upon the Lord and have patience, but we have that hope. We know God is going to answer. Psalm 91 and verse number 15. Psalm 91 verse number 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now let's go back in the Old Testament and think for a moment at the contest at Mount Carmel with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Now, if Elijah did not have a vibrant prayer life with God, he would not have done what he did. Because he set up a contest, and that if Elijah did not have any faith, then he was going to look very foolish. Because he called for whose God is real, whose God is the true God. And he had faith in his God, he had faith in Jehovah, and knew God would answer. He knew God was going to hear him. He knew, he didn't have any doubt. He didn't see Elijah over there fretting. You know, I loved how Brother Crow, but he just got his hammock out and just hung out there and waited for them to finish. I mean, all day long, them calling out to their God of stone. He wasn't over there fretting. Well, I really hope God hears my prayer. Man, this is crunch time. You know, this is, and if this doesn't go well, I'm going to look really bad. This is going to be really, he wasn't over there sweating. He knew God was going to answer him. He had faith in God. And he waited for the time of God's answer. Waited throughout the day, waited, and then he called upon the Lord, and immediately came the fire from heaven. Our hope is in that He will answer our prayer. Our hope is in what Jesus did for us on the cross, how we have access to God. Our hope is in our eternal home in heaven. Our hope is in the access we have through our high priest, Jesus Christ. Don't worry. God will not abandon you in your time of need. God will not abandon you. God will not cast you aside. God will not forget about you. It's so wonderful to know that God does not have any human frailties. He does not have the humanity's way of letting people down. He doesn't have sin nature. He cannot lie. He says he's going to do something. He will do it. He will carry it out. He will every single time. Hebrews 13, verse number 5 tells us this. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, verse number 6 we forget about. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. He is your helper. He's not the helper to just some people. He is a helper to every single Christian. But will we wait for it? Will we have patience? The second thing, promise that we have, look back at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse number 26. First, we see patience. Second, we see aid. Aid. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I think one of the greatest aspects of the Holy Spirit's ministry is that of intercession on behalf of the Christian. This can be because we're, why is this needed? Because there are times we're not able to see the situation clearly and do not know what to pray. You know, when the devil attacks, he doesn't give much warning, does he? When there's something going on, maybe it's with your children, or maybe it's with your family, or maybe it's with a friend or a coworker, or maybe with you personally. You know, the devil doesn't give you a little appointment card and call you up like the doctors do. Hey, you have an appointment next week at the doctor's office. And the devil doesn't say, hey, I'm going to attack you at such and such a time, and say, hey, by the way, be ready for me when I come. He doesn't do that. He comes and he sneaks in and he destroys and he steals and he takes all that God has made that is good and tries to destroy it. There are times when trials even from the Lord come unexpectedly. He doesn't give us warning when these things happen. There are terrible things that happen in this life. There are evil things that befall Christians. There's evil things that befall everyone. But what will we do? And these are when we are faced with situations, you know, when we see something coming, we can prepare a little bit. But many things in life happen suddenly and without expectation and didn't know you even needed to prepare for that. Amen? You know, there's certain things we can prepare for. We can prepare for some adversity, but some things happen that are just so quick and so instantaneous that we just have no clue what we're going to do. No idea what we're going to do. But the Holy Spirit of God knows how to intercede for us. Amen? That's a precious promise. We don't even know what to pray because we don't even really know what's going on. I mean, you don't want to show a raise of hands. You ever been there? Just had no idea what was going on. Just had no idea what you were going to do. And said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then that's when the Holy Spirit comes with groanings that cannot be uttered and intercedes on our behalf before the Father's throne and says, this is what this child needs. But also something else. We see this aid. It's such a comfort that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and tells our Heavenly Father what our needs are. You know what? I'd love to ask the Lord how this works when we get to heaven. How this happens. I mean, this is just miraculous. And I think we sometimes we don't make as much of it as we should. You're not alone in prayer. You know, sometimes, however, how many times have you felt that you're praying and you're all alone? Just you in the room. God's not hearing you. God's, you know, it just seems like the ceiling is made of concrete. And, you know, it just seems you're not getting anywhere. But you remember something. You're never alone in prayer. Never alone. You have the Holy Spirit of God. In your living in our heart and dwelling us in the bodily in the person of the Holy Spirit, we have the Holy Spirit that aids us. That aids us. You know, and even this can be also, maybe there's some things we're ignorant of in God's Word, and we're praying for something, maybe and for some young Christian, and this is the great and the mercy of God. Maybe some young Christian, they don't know a lot about the Bible, but they're praying for things, and maybe they're not praying for the right kind of things. Or maybe they're not praying, as the Bible says, as they ought to. But still, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. and in spite of our ignorance, intercedes and helps us so that we can have the answer that God wishes for us to have. You're not alone in prayer. You're not on your own. You have an advocate. Praise the Lord that we have that. And that brings us to the third truth. Now, these two verses 26 and 27 go together, and that we have an aid in the Holy Spirit, verse 26. Verse 27 is also another aspect of this. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, it's interesting that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, but also Jesus does too, as our high priest. And if you'd like to explain to me how that works, I mean, I'm available after the service. But the Lord, there's some things the Bible doesn't tell us clearly, probably because we wouldn't understand it anyway. But we see that both, that the Holy Spirit intercedes, and there's an intercession given here, and that he that searcheth the hearts, we know that God does that, especially Jesus does that. We see that in Proverbs 17, verse number 3. Proverbs 17 and verse number 3. In that God knows our every thought and all the intent, all everything that's in our heart. We see this, that God tries. There's a trial that takes place. If you look at, we sort of looked at patience in verse number 25, aid in verse number 26, and verse number 27 is out of trial. Trial. We see here in Proverbs 17 and verse number 3, the fining pot is for silver. Okay, this is how they refine silver and get the dross and get the impurities out of it. Second, and the furnace for gold. Okay, the blasting furnace that melts the impurities out of gold. My parents, my dad especially, my mom and dad worked together, but my dad was a dental lab technician, so if you had dentures, crown, bridges, whatever type of anything that went in your mouth, he made it and had it in there, and he had, he made crowns and bridges out of silver, out of gold, and different things like that, depending how much you wanted to pay from the dentist. The dentist would put those things in, but he made it for the dentist. And he had furnaces that he would casting, and also I guess you could say call a burnout furnace, where the wax would be in there, and they would actually burn out the wax and would leave the porcelain, or leave the metal, or leave whatever was supposed to be formed there in it. But also he had a casting machine. That what it would do, it would cast into a crucible, melt gold. I mean, it was like burning red hot. I always thought it was cool to watch him do that. And it was a very dangerous machine to use. But it was a centrifugal thing, and it would take that gold. It would melt. It would get it so hot. And this was already purified gold, but it was still, on the outside edges, it would still get some impurities out of it, get it so hot, and spin it into this mold, and it would make a casting of a crown or a bridge or whatever it was. So if you have that idea, a furnace is a red hot furnace that refines gold. But then, a third thing here in verse number 3, but the Lord trieth the hearts. So it said, so the fining pot is for refining silver, and the furnace is for refining gold. But the Lord is where man's heart is refined and tried. Does that sound like a scary thing to you? It does to me. Sounds because we're in the hands of an awesome and almighty God, a loving God, but God tries our heart. Our hearts are on trial. He puts our hearts on trial. He brings witnesses, because sometimes we think things in our hearts, but that's not really what we were thinking, but God really knows what we were thinking. You know, who can know that our hearts are desperately wicked? Who can know it? There are many times that we don't even know what's in there. But God does. He tries the hearts. What Justin, the similar idea, try the spirits, will they be of God? He tries our thoughts and tries what's in our heart to see if it holds up to his standard, if it holds up to the comparison of his divine will for us. And we see that the last part of the verse here, back in Romans chapter 8, verse number 27. And one page over here, verse number 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? Will of God. So he tries our thoughts. He tries our innermost feelings. He tries all of it to see if we are praying for something, as the Bible says, to consume it upon our lust, which tells us in James chapter 4, verse 3, why do we ask and receive not? Why? Because he asks amiss to consume it upon your lusts. And that God, maybe we didn't think of it that way, and perhaps we didn't realize that we were asking for something in a lustful way. If you've been living in the flesh for a while, you think it's spiritual, but the Bible and God's Word and God Himself looks at it and said, no, this is not in accordance with my will. This is according to your will. This isn't according to mine. And he tries those things. But those things which are genuine, which we've looked at the biblical thought filter in Philippians, right? Where things are good, which things are honest, those things pass through that, and the passive lines up with God's will. Multiple verses in the Bible we could use according to God's will and God's word. What is in our heart if it passes through all of that? And then we see that though that he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Let me ask you something. You know what? You can never get a wrong answer to prayer. You know that? I didn't really think about that until I read this. You know what? It's impossible to get a wrong answer from God. We know God can't make a mistake, but what's saying here that every time that God answers a prayer, it's always in accordance with his will. And you know what? Sometimes we get upset with that, the answers we get. Because really, we're wanting our will. We're not submitted to the will of God. Because God's will is always perfect and right. But we have to submit ourselves to it. And when God gives us an answer, it is always in accordance with his divine plan for our life. So if you want to get the most out of your prayer life, get your life lined up with the will of God. And then we will see God do a great work in our prayer life. Because we will be asking in accordance with the will of God if we're submitted to it. But also, because God searches our hearts, tries our hearts, he knows our every thought, he knows how to answer our need. You know, as a younger person, you know what, as I've gotten older, I learned more about the Bible. But how many times, I don't have to ask a raise of hands here, but you prayed and you thought that God didn't know what was going on in your life. It felt that way anyway, that you seemed to be informing God for the first, this is the first time he's heard about the situation that was going on in your life. Sometimes we can get in that attitude. It's not a good attitude to be in, but it can happen. Been in a tragic accident or is dying of cancer, and we wish that they would be healed. And we ask and we pray, say, Lord, will you heal this person? It's very important to pray according to the will of God, and there are times when it is God's will that he miraculously heals, amen? But also, God's will might be better served and others brought to himself by that person dying. But we don't like that because that we don't, as human beings, we don't like death. Because we will miss that person. That person will no longer be a part of our life. And maybe there are some regrets of time and all of these things. But some people, when they ask, they want God. Well, God heals, right? God heals. So I'm going to go to him and he's going to heal. But then he doesn't because it's not according to his will, and people lose faith in God. They say, well, he doesn't really care about me. Oh, yes, he does. He does. His answer was in accordance to his will. That is when we have a decision to make. Are we going to submit ourselves to God's will? The will of God. Or are we going to go down the path that I was right, I was justified, and God doesn't love me? And that's where you have two groups of people. And that's where you have people that used to come to church and that used to do right and used to love the Lord. And then something bad happens in their life and they prayed and asked God to do something. And God wasn't in God's will for that to happen. And God was bringing them through that trial. And then they got it stuck in their head because the lie of the devil, he loves this one. God doesn't care about you. God doesn't care. He wasn't there. He could have saved you any time from your trial. Well, guess what? Jesus could have saved himself any time from the trial of the cross, any time he wanted, but he didn't, because there was a purpose in it. It was his Father's will that he hang there and that he bleed and suffer and die there. He was in complete submission to the divine will of his Father. The same we should be. Whatever happens, whatever the answer is, it's always right. It's always right. And if we have that in our heart and our mind, that'll help us out tremendously. What is the result? The last point here, we've looked at patience, second aid, third trial, third result. Verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, notice what it says here. There's some very interesting thoughts. We could preach a whole message on this one verse right here. But notice it said that all things work together for good. Now, does it say that we will understand all things that God does? Nope, doesn't promise that. Actually, there's more verses in the Bible that tell us that we will not understand the ways of God than verses that say we will understand. Because there are the ways of God. He sees all from the end to the, from the beginning to end, from all of eternity. His perspective is entirely different. All we see is here and now. All we see is, you know, if you look at, you know, different types of drawings, you know, there's 2D and there's 3D. You know, it's always cool to have the 3D GPS maps, right? When you're on your phone and in the city, you can like tilt it and it looks cool. You know, you get a different whole perspective doing it that way. But then there's the old style GPS, just like a little arrow that does this, you know, and you can't tell what where you're at or anything like that. The same way with God. He has a different perspective than we do, and we must trust him and have faith in him that he knows what he's doing. You know, we don't need to be the Monday morning quarterback and telling God what he needs to do. Because we don't have the perspective, we don't have the omniscience, we don't have anything of like that. But we must, this is a promise, we know. Why? Because the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Because God sees our heart. Because he always answers according to the divine will. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, this is an interesting thought as well. Why is it only to those that love God? Let's think about this for a moment. Because those that love God are the only ones that are going to accept his will. Because to the Christian who loves God, God's will is good. But to those who do not love God but love themselves, God's will is not good to them. It is good to God, but it's not good to them. And they rebel against it. And they go against it. And to them, instead of it being something good, it is something bad. It's something terrible instead of something good. All depends on which side of it you're on. To them who are the called according to his purpose, those that are walking with him, those that are loving him, those that are following his calling, his will for them, his purpose for them, all things will be good. But if you're not following his purpose and you reject his will and reject his purpose for you, then it won't be good. It still is because God gave it, but it's not a good thing to you, and you reject it. You must be very careful. Have you ever wondered sometimes that when you pray something, then you realize what you prayed, and you're afraid of what God's going to answer? You know, it's very, you know, don't get upset when you get getting caught in three traffic jams in a week, and you always get the slowest cashier at HEB or Walmart, and you get the longest line at McDonald's when you just prayed, Lord, teach me patience. Amen? You know what? We forget that. You're like, what is going on? And then it dawns on you. The Lord said, you asked me to teach you to be patient. Right? Then you go into work on Monday morning, and your boss is all chewing you out because you didn't do your job right, and then everybody at work's making fun of you and going through all these things, and you made all kinds of mistakes all week long. You have to say sorry to everybody and everything. And then you remember it on Sunday morning and on the altar. I said, Lord, make me humble. Oh, and we get start complaining. Then we begin to think, you want to be humble. I'm teaching to be humble. So, Lord, I'm too proud. I'm too prideful of my accomplishments. He answers, but many times we're not looking for the answer. We just think that God's going to sit us down and give us a nice little talking to. God is a very practical God. And if we want to be taught something, if we lack wisdom, as James 1 says, He will teach it to us. And many times in uncomfortable ways, in ways that are practical, in ways that we learn. I'll never forget that. I was in college and I prayed, Lord, it was my senior year. It was after I'd gotten saved. And I said, Lord, I'm too proud. Lord, please teach me to be humble. And for the life of me, I couldn't get a good grade on a quiz all that week. And I was studying. I was the type that I just cruised through quizzes. I'd open up my book and I just close it and I get a 5 out of 5. Yeah, I was one of those people. I know everybody hated me in my class. Like, you don't even study and you get 5 out of 5. But I was just doing that. Like, hey, I've got it and everything. And I did my quiz. And then my teacher asked questions I didn't even know were in the book. That weren't even in the notes. Everybody around me, they're getting 4 out of 5. I got a 0. I said, well, just a fluke. Next class. And this was my Bible class. I got my memory verse down for this. Got it down. So memory verse time. Got the reference down. I know what that verse is. Nothing. Well, we have all had bad days. The next day, same thing happened day after day. Then I realized I asked God to teach me to be humble. So, all right, Lord, I got the lesson. I need to trust in you because I wasn't asking God for help on those quizzes. I was like, hey, I've got it. Well, the Lord has a way of teaching us things. The result is God's perfect will. All things work together for good. Perfect peace. And then also, as we look at 1 Peter 5:7, know a verse very well. We also see a relief from our burden. A relief from our burden. 1 Peter 5:7. A relief from our burden in that when we are faced with tragedy, when we're faced with the devil's attack, when we are faced with these things, it's a burden on our life. It's a burden on our heart. It's a burden upon our mind. And when we give it to the Lord, we have relief from our burden. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. You know what verse comes right after it? Verse 8. Sometimes we as preachers, we use verses in the single context, but when you connect them together, you see a bigger picture here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So when you're overcome, you have that burden, you better cast it upon God because the devil is just waiting for you to carry it on your own. He is waiting for you to be overcome by the affliction that he's brought upon you. He is waiting for you. And the only way we're going to make it is if we give it to God. Illustration that I've used many times. I've done it in recent years. I actually learned this one in college, so I give this credit to my classmate. But he preached on this verse right here. 1 Peter 5:7, and in that when we cast our burdens upon God and we call upon Him in prayer, and there are things that happen. Maybe it's a situation in our personal life, maybe it's a situation in a child's life, or in health-wise, or something else. Or maybe it's a financial crisis, or a crisis with your vehicle, or something like that. And there's something that's unexpected that has happened, and it's overwhelming to you. It is stressing you out. And say, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know what? So, Lord, I don't know what to do, but You are the Lord God of heaven, and You're all wise. You know exactly what the right answer is. Lord, whatever the answer is, I pray that You would bring it my way. And I'm giving it over to You to take care of. Lord, I pray that You would take care of this situation. And that's casting Your care upon the Lord. But this is many times what we do. Lord, I want You, please take care of this. I pray to Lord that You give me a new car. And that, dear Lord, I'm just tired of this one, but I just like a new one. Will You just please provide a new car? And by the way, can it have leather seats? Can it have new chrome? And can it have and be less than 2 years old and have 20,000 miles on it? And Lord, I don't want to go into debt for it, so I pray my rich uncle would give me $20,000 to buy this car. And what we do, instead of taking the pen, as we have here, let's say this is our burden, our care that we have here. Instead of saying, casting it upon the Lord, we keep our fingertips on it, and we give God conditions. Well, Lord, I'm going to give this over to you. Lord, I pray that you would make it come out the way that I want it to. Many young people do this when praying about the will of God. You know, you're never going to find the will of God until you give all of your will, cast all of your will on Him and your desire in Him. You're never going to find it until you give all the way over to God. Doesn't matter what you want me to do, Lord. I'll do whatever. We call that surrender. You cast that upon the Lord and give it. But He said, Lord, I'll go. I'll do anything, go anywhere except this. And usually, you know what it is? It's that thing that you say you don't want to do is what He wants you to do. Imagine that. You know what I told God for years? Lord, I'll never be a preacher. I'll never do it. They have no fun. They get paid nothing. And people hate them. So I don't want to be one. That's not really true. Sometimes it's true, but most of the time not. Definitely not riches, but definitely true. But going, doing that, I thought, I'll never be a preacher. I'll be a pilot. I'll be a lawyer. I'll be anything else but that. But guess what I am? After running for years and fighting for years, I'm a preacher. Never planned on being one. People ask me, so how were you called to be a pastor and to be a squad? I don't know. I just kind of started being one, and that was it. I loved it. I still do it. So some people have this elaborate call and things like that, call to preach and things like that. And I just got up there, and trust me, when I started, I hated preaching. I was scared to death. I hated it. But after I got saved, you know what happened? I started like doing it now. I said, you know what? Now I was excited about it. I said, well, I guess God wants, and God said, I want you to preach. I said, okay, go and do that. It's like Pastor Harvey. The day he got saved, he got called to preach. It's just that simple. Some people, it takes more of a process, but in the same way of finding God's will, you got to cast it out there. Cast your burden of your will. You know, carrying your own will around is heavy. It's a burden. Just submit yourself to God's. Whatever it is you take the pen and you cast it away. I wasn't trying to hit you, Leterio. But we cast it away. We don't put conditions on it. We just cast it away from us. We cast it upon the Lord, and we say, I'm done with it. I take my hands off, and the result is peace in your heart. Peace that passeth all understanding. You know why? You have taken the control and given it over to the Almighty God of heaven, and He's a lot better prepared than you are to handle the situation. And whatever happens, God is always right. God is always good, and His answer is always right. So you can say, whatever the answer is, Lord, I will be content with that. Remember that verse, He'll never leave us or forsake us? You need to be content with the word and the will of God. I don't know what to do. Praise the Lord, God does. Let Him do it for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for this evening. I pray that You would bless this invitation time. Dear Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct us as we go forward this evening. Lord, speak to hearts, perhaps some that have not laid their burden upon You. Maybe some that have not laid their will upon You. I don't know what it is, dear Lord, but You know what's in their heart. You know what is going on in their life. And dear Lord, I pray that You would speak to them and that they would cast all their care upon You, that they would prepare themselves for the day when that unexpected trial comes. For Lord, we never expect it at times. Sometimes we can see it coming, but many times trials and testings and attacks come unexpectedly. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would guide and direct this invitation time. Speak to Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.